Praise God. And tonight, let's just get into the Word. Most of you would probably have some things written down. If you have not, when the lights are off at the staircase, you can continue to write. But tonight, we are moving into something else. It's not so much requests tonight that we're going to concentrate on, but moving in the Spirit, moving into the realm of the Spirit. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise and thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit with us and in us. We recognize, Father God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, full of grace, full of power, and willing, O God, to enable us, willing, O God, to bring us into the perfection of your perfect will in our lives. Thank you, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will tonight lead us into this truth, O God, of the spirit realm. We ask, Father God, that you teach us to move into the depths of your spirit realm without hindrance, that we will understand how to move into it, that we will understand the patterns and the methods into that, Father. We ask for revelation, we ask for wisdom to be imparted to our lives, and Father God, most of all, glorify your Son Jesus in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we have said before, and make mention of the fact that we observe different and various ministries from all over the world, and sometimes we observe ministries, like for example from the Eastern Asia, like India, and we notice that when you have a guest speaker, let's say from India, I'm not talking about just the flaky ones, I mean the good ones, they have an emphasis on the mystical part of Christianity, and their ministries take on a certain kind of realm. Then those who have been touched by Western Christianity lean towards what we call the teaching side, line upon line, precept upon precept kind of Christianity, the theological perspective. And you find German Christianity and etc. have a heavy emphasis on theology, and so each is different. And what we want to have is to understand each aspect and harness the best from each. And for example, sometimes if Indian evangelist ministers, you notice that they sometimes move into realms that will be considered quite remarkable by Western standard, like for example knowing names of people and all these things that which are pretty remarkable by Western standard. So that if Paul Kane seems to be, Paul Kane and Catherine Kuhlman are some of those who seems to be the only few who move into that in the Western culture. But it's quite common among Indian evangelists, if you all remember. And these are things very common in Eastern Christianity and the development of Eastern Christianity. And however, they have a particular manifestation sometimes which are quite unacceptable among Western Christianity. Like for example, some of them when they move, they go, you know, somebody here, and is it Tanakao? Has these five problems in his life, and he's how old, and so when they see the all these things happening, and is it we look at it, and most of us in Asia here are westernized, especially those in the city area. That's why Peninsula's Malaysia's Christian revival is different from East Malaysia. East Malaysia leans on the mystical side. And Peninsula Malaysia, without teaching, you can't even get a revival going. And so we look at that and we say, why must their hand shake? Sometimes it's not their hand. At least hand's not too bad now. Quite acceptable since when I'm 14. Praise the Lord. And sometimes their head shake. There's someone here. And So we wonder, why must they do all these kind of queer things? Why can't they just stand still like the Lord Jesus and say, there's somebody here who, no? And why can't they do that? And that's what we're getting into tonight, to explore why and some reasons. But yet, because of that, they move into a realm of the spirit quite remarkable. And I was a Jivanandan in his early days in the ministry in Malaysia, and we prayed together with him before his meeting, and you should see how he prays behind. He prays up a storm. and he pray, he not only pray, he shakes. But when he ministers, he doesn't shake. If he did, it was on purpose though. You know who I'm talking about? Jivanandan, right? He's still alive. And so when he ministers, right, he tends to go this way. And he was one of those whom he always said, you know, he will go this way and say, po, po, and when he casts out demons. And I was with him in Bukit Mandaja in the early days, and I said, what? I said, you always say one word when you minister. He said, what? He always say, po, 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 po. And he say in such a way, you know, like he go, po, like that. And it sounds like balloon bursting. No, he go like that. And so I said, why must you do that? Is that your special way of releasing the power of God? I did releasing the anointing of God. So for him to release the anointing, he has to puff out his mouth, go and this way. And I said, is that a new way of releasing the anointing of God? And I said, no. The word po is a very crude Indian word to say get out. So he said that he was just commanding the demon to go out. I said, oh, I didn't know that. And then sometimes when he ministers, when the ladies have this long hair, right, he has short hair, this long hair that is there, he will grab the long hair and go this way. And I used to say, why must you do things like that? And he said he did it sometimes on purpose, but sometimes most of the time out of habit. And he says that if there's no demon there, usually, you know, the person would tell him. And so sometimes he thinks there's a demon there, he go this way, he go, and then while he was twisting the head, and he was a master of tonsorial art. And while he's twisting the head, one girl said, no demon here. No demon here. And what a way. And you see minister say, my. Now, under ordinary circumstances, you say, wow, there's a lot of the flesh inside there. And but he got results. He got results. I'm not called a minister that way. Some of you may be, right? And maybe are you called the minister like him? Praise God. And he has this particular quality. But when I prayed with him, he shook a lot. And 10 times more than the Korean. You know, Benny Hinn said the Korean pray like that. And he will go 10 times faster. So you're not sure he's shaking or he's praying. But he gets into the spirit realm. That's how he prepares himself. And I'm interested in all this. I'm interested to know what makes somebody tick. And so all these, like the Bible says, you know, I keep in my heart and later to pull out to re-examine the whole thing. And now as I look back, I realize that there's something that they were getting into. The most important thing to understand is what is behind the method, not just the method. It would be foolish to import a methodology wholesale and not understand what went on behind the methodology and how a person got reached that stage to use all these methods. So sometimes people copy methods but don't understand the principles, they don't have the same results. And Western Christianity, as we say, you just have a look around any bookstore and you realize that most theological books and most doctrinal and teaching books are written by the West. So it's a different type of Christianity that has come forth, different development. And it's not so mystical, it's more a rational kind of Christianity that has developed. And we are in a privileged position to be able to compare both and have a look at both and analyze what causes it. And tonight, we are not touching on this area of the line-by-line precept or precept, but we are to point and rationalize the mystical and understand it and see what is behind it. See, what happened that these people move into this area is that they tap on what I call, for lack of a better word, the spiritual law of rhythm to move into the spirit realm. And in order to explain it a little bit more, if you remember, the Bible says that everything is praising the Lord, the whole earth is praising the Lord, the stars are praising the Lord, the trees are praising the Lord. And what do we mean by praising the Lord? If we study music, we realize that music, the whole basis of music are just sounds that are produced in rhythm. The difference between music and noise is just rhythm. You could actually take a piano and make noise from it. Put someone there who doesn't know music. Cling, clang, 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 clang. Right? The same instrument can become noise. So music is just the rhythm, vibration of noises in various pitch, in different amount of loudness given in a rhythmic form, and we hear it, there's a harmony inside, and we call it music. And then you realize that all things, when we say that all things that is praise the Lord, praise, behind praise is what I call getting into a rhythm and harmony. And even the atoms have a certain harmony of movement. And do you know that matter does not stand still at all? The electrons constantly move around the nucleus of the atom in a harmonious way. We can be sure the earth has to rotate around the sun in a harmonious way. Otherwise, you know, tomorrow we get up and the sun decided, you know, that he wants to move somewhere else and the earth moves somewhere else. We all be frozen. No, there is a rhythm about it. And so the essence of praise is moving into harmony and the rhythm of God. Now, the spirit world is very harmonious. Talking about the laws that God has set in the spirit world, the spirit realm of God. And in order to move into that realm, we must reach a certain stage of release from our physical bodies. From our physical bodies. There is what I call the good and the bad side. The good and the bad side. And for example, if we analyze some of those unbelievers and false religions that try to move into the spirit realm, you notice they also have to get themselves to do something. Like for example, in Asia we realize some of them who want to move into the spirit realm, so-called, or contact spirits, or astral projection. A lot of them have to pay a certain price too. So we take illustration from there first, then we analyze the Bible to compare, to show the truth out and where the lie is. And so for these people who can project their spirit being out, and let me tell you, these are real things. They can do it. And but there's a certain discipline that they have to pay to. And I was talking to one evangelist one time who was confronting one guy, or so we call them in Asia, a medium, and who goes to astral projection. And this guy, not in the good realm, but in the bad realm, in a false realm, moved into revelation that will amaze people. And this evangelist told me how before he became an evangelist, just before he was born again, he went to this work, and in this working place, there was one person working there who took one look at him and told him his name, and then told him his background. The false word of knowledge, I call it. And then told him a few things about his life, and then told him that he came here for an interview, and then told him that he will be accepted, and then described the very room that he would sit in, and then told him that he would die. Can you imagine the fear that got on this guy? And this guy was a sort of half-baked Christian, nominal. He really started seeking the Lord. Say, God, you know this guy is the devil, but you better, you know, prove him wrong. And he went for this interview, and he was accepted. And can you imagine the shock that came into his life when he was shown his office, and it was exactly the way this guy described, who has never been there. And he found out that the whole organization feared this guy because he could tell everything, false word of knowledge. But this guy is a reasonably good guy. I mean, he's not, he doesn't grow horns and all that. He just seems to move into the internet, right? One ordinary looking guy. Doesn't even look like the devil. No? Short, slim, and handsome. Benjamin loves that. But he has only the slim part to deal with. And so we have when he was in such a shock, and he prayed and said, God, you better get me out of this situation. And everybody in the organization was so nice to him, because this person, what was his name? I think it was Achan or something, had predicted that he's going to die. So everybody was very nice, because if you know, they said that not a single thing this guy spoke never came to pass. And so they were all nice to him, because they know he's going to go home. He's just going to die. And everybody in the organization is very nicely. And he's wondering, God, you better get me out of this situation. And he prayed. And there was a turn of events that this person came, and there was a change of manager, and one of the managers came and said that as a result of certain things, that they may not be able to give the job to him. And when he heard that, he stood up, he took the manager's hand, thank you very much, I don't want to work here anyway. And he went to Acha, and he went to this Acha, and he said, hey, your work didn't come to pass. And I can just look at him. Then he went off, you know. But he was praying desperately already, this Christian. And that was when he confronted these evil powers. And he began to say that, this is remarkable, there's something there. And these are not even true gods. These are dumb demons. And what about Christianity? Where are we? Is it all we have is some rationalistic, theological Christianity that says be good, be nice, one day you'll be going home? What's the revelation aspect? We realize that, thank God, that people like Catherine Coleman and John G. Lake, remember when in John G. Lake's book he mentioned how when he had a deluge of the Spirit on him, that almost everyone he looked at, he could tell what's wrong with them. See, from time to time, people have tapped into that, but the problem is people have not learned to remain in that flow. But in the reverse spirit realm, in the evil realm, there are those that tap into that. And through time, of course, he prayed for this Achan and he got converted. And when this Achan got converted, he said the devil came after him, wouldn't let him go. Because to bring him total freedom, probably like a faith manager, etc. And he was a Christian, but very miserable. Now, all these demonic forces that before he attacked now come against him. But these people who move into that realm, they all pay a price. They pay a price. And he said that these people, if you notice, some of them, they want to move the spirit, they go on a fast. These people go on a fast. And some of them for their whole life, they only eat very meagerly on vegetables. But they don't want to be, rich, well-built. But there's certain, some things that they're packed upon, some discipline. Some of them, they begin to move into the realm of the spirit, and they learn the keys into the evil realm. And here Christianity has not learned the keys into the realm of the spirit. One thing, I don't believe the realm in the realm of the spirit cannot be understood. Although there are things that are mystery, it tells us that the Spirit of God came in 1 Corinthians 2 to show us the things of the Spirit, that we can understand it, to move into that land. So it's a tremendous challenge to us to realize that there is this realm of the Spirit to move into. Now, here is the case. There are some things over here that we're going to say that may look similar to that, but we will find them based in the Bible. Like, for example, positive confession and positive thinking that the worldly people have discovered has its root in biblical confession. Confession of God's word, what you say is what you get. Mark 11:24. That is where the principle came from originally. But the enemy has taken it, removed it of the Holy Spirit, removed it of Jesus, and left the principle hanging there. Which, when the worldly people tap on that, they do go a certain way. They do reach a certain point. So there are similarities we need to realize, but it does not mean that there is no truth inside. That side is what we call truth perverted. And this is where we say the truth is original. And the very source of all truth is Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And the true realm. So in this realm of what we call moving into the spirit, there is what I call one of the things called the law of moving into a certain flow and giving yourself to the Lord. The physical body has to be brought into a state of yieldedness. A state of yieldedness. It does not mean that we lose our mind or our free will. It does not mean that we are not conscious. We are still fully conscious. But there has to be a letting go and a letting go of this body and using it to get into the realm of the spirit. Let me show in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, how in the Old Testament, before the new covenant, they're right at the beginning of what we call the flow of many prophets. Samuel, of which all Bible scholars have traced the school of prophets
of Elijah's time, of Elisha's time to Samuel. Samuel seems to be the key man who organized the school of prophets. And that school of prophets continued right to the time of Elijah and Elisha. It started and it began with Samuel. And what an important achievement it was. Because it was from that point onwards that we begin to see prophets playing a more and more major role in the life of the nation of Israel. And I believe one of the things was that in that school of prophets was that those who are called and leaning towards the dream or one called to be a prophet were taught how to get into the realm of the spirit easily. They practiced that realm. And so more could move into that. Now there's an interesting story that's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 10. In speaking about Saul as king, or becoming king of Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel said in verse 5, "After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from a high place, the high place, with string instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and be turned into another man." Here was a group of prophets with musical instruments. Tambourine, flute, harp. Prophesying. What were they doing? They were not giving prophecy to anybody. Do you notice that? They were just among themselves. What they were they doing? They were going to use a very crude word. They were dazing it in the spirit. You know, daze music. I don't quite like that. But daze music always like it has a rhythm about it. They and they were just dazing it in the spirit, man. And in from the time, "Oh, the Lord is good, the Lord is good, the Lord is good." One of them said, "The Lord is good." Bang, bang. Someone goes, "Doo, doo, doo, doo." You know, can you imagine being exposed to all those things for hour upon hour upon hour? I wouldn't be surprised to get in a trance. Get in a trance. You go, "Oh, yum, 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 yum," right? You know, the trance. That was how they maintained an easy flow to move into the spirit realm where the prophecies are, where God should choose to give one. They always maintain it. You'll find the same group of prophets still going on that way. Many, many years later, 1 Kings 19, there they were still there. Group of prophets. And it looks like that was a band that needs to practice together. But this is not a singing musician group. These are prophets. Many years later, when King Saul was much more older, remember King Saul reigned for 40 years. Towards the latter part of his life, many decades have passed by, several decades have passed, right? One or two, maybe. And then you still find this group of prophets there. Yum, 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 bang, 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 yum, yum, yum. Can you imagine spending your whole life in that kind of atmosphere? No wonder the Bible talks about sons of the prophets. You know the sons of the prophets behave like the father do? They call on the same anointing. It was, remember, these were not prophets. By the time you reach the state of Elijah, the old fellow that died. Yet the sons of the prophets were still hanging around the school of the prophets. With Elijah and all that, remember, in Elijah's time, Is this an attempt of the prophet?
Okay.
But they can't. Imagine being brought in that kind of atmosphere. Your daddy go, playing the harp all the time. Oh, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Make good in this stage all the time for year in and year. I won't be surprised to get no time.
Felicia,
in the other positive man, to move into the spirit, there's a rhythm about it. There are times when people have worshipped in the spirit, when they move quite close into that realm, but then go on further. You know why? Because they reach a realm where the mind start rationalizing and say, hey, I'm not going further than this. I must understand everything. And I'm not understanding it. I'm not going in.
And the soul says.
And so we hold ourselves back. We don't go further. But yet, some of the most remarkable, put it this way, mystical qualities are Christian. Christianity is a mystical religion anyway. Are people who have given themselves to the Spirit in this life. Give a lower head than what is book. You know, and lower head is 36. I'm talking about privately. And in one of his books, he talked about how he was saying, every time he prayed, his whole body was sick. But he has a part in taking care of God. But he was sick, and sometimes he had this close friend, pastor, who used to drop by his house. And so he could walk right in, and sometimes he walked right in, no one is not around, goes to his bedroom, and there's no one in his lying on the bed, taking all the pleasure, oh, is it? But no one is it God? That is an interesting word in there. But the principles involved is the giving of ourselves to the realm of the spirit, beyond the realm of the mind. The most important thing is you know that it is of God. You know that it's in the spirit. You know it's just a spirit of God coming forth from you. See, the flow of the spirit has different strength. If you're in a river, up to knee high, it has a certain force on you. It's not that easy to walk, but yet you still could walk. If you're in a river, up to waist length, waist high, you would find it more difficult to walk. It's a little bit more stronger, you can carry a bit away. You're in a river, above your head and your clothing. If that current is strong like the Amazon River, you can't control. You let go. You could be holding on to something, and then your decision is to let go or not to let go. When we begin to move into the realm of the spirit and allow the spirit within us to take control of it, the spirit will gush forth at first like a river, gently. But then we reach a stage where the flesh breaks away and the spirit moves fully into that realm. And the flesh just takes the back seat. And it's at that point, and that point of letting go is where the momentum builds up so strong. And he says, shall I yield myself to thee or shall I not? And few are they who let go. But those who let go and just enjoy the spirit man begin to taste of revelation that I have not seen nor ear heard, like nothing ever revealed to man before. Let me give a very practical example of this. I know. For example, when I was learning about this realm personally myself, when I was praying, in the early days of my ministry, learning in the realm of the spirit, remember that in my background, I lean very heavily on the rational side. I lean on intellect a lot. That's my whole background. and very analytical about things, scrutinize it, I must understand all things. And so this rhyme is quite puzzling me. But I have been disciplined enough to pray long hours in class. And have experienced all the things that describe what happens in too long hours in class, how the mind is still.
There is something that happens to your mind.
And then there's another realm that you move into. There's something happens to your body.
Something does happen to your body.
And so one day as I was praying much in tongues, and if you realize that when you pray in tongues much, or you give yourself to...
Let me talk about tongues first.
Let's do one at a time. Praying in tongues.
And you give yourself to it. Notice you reach a certain rhythm
when the rhythm really builds up in you. Like the Gushing River fills your life. You go, Hura Mahavariyavara. And it just feels nice. Just as, for example, those who don't pray in tongues don't understand the joy of releasing it. See, those who have not prayed in tongues, it seems quite hard to come out. But those of us who do pray in tongues know how easy it is. It is just letting go. Letting the tongues come out.
Right?
It just comes out. And they look at it and say, wow, how do you do that? And just by saying
the sound,
then you feel good about inside. You feel good about letting those sounds out.
And those around.
It's in a realm that
is just at the border of
rationalizing it.
So there is sound. Then as you move further into time, do you notice sometimes it feels good to just, shake a little bit? Aha. You let your tongue shake, now you cannot let your body shake. See, when you pray in tongues, what do? Your tongue is shaking. Voluntarily, not involuntarily. Right? Your tongue goes, Ig arahaz ibli umbr as ibr ant ibr umbahaz ana. You are in full control. Then you go on and on and on and on. You reach a realm when your own body want to also pray in tongues. See, I never heard a body pray in tongues. Right? That's just a figure of speech. Imagine. But it's the realm where your body wants to go along with your tongue. Okay. You say, hey, brother, I don't understand all these things. All right, wait. Hold on a minute. When you speak ordinary English in your English sophisticated style, do you speak it monotonously? We don't. We don't speak the same all the time. Without feeling, say, hey, how are you? Do you have a very good dinner? Yes. Even when you talk in your intellect, you don't do that. Right? Do you have a very good dinner tonight? Right? This expression. What about when you tell someone you love them? I love you. Internet. No? Don't you feel that sometimes when you want to tell someone who is down and out that you love them, they say, hey, we love you, cheer up. And when you say cheer up, sometimes you just give them a pat on the shoulder. Cheer up, come on. Cheer up, praise the Lord. Cheer up. Right. Now, don't we do that in the understanding? Not even talking about relativity, we're talking about realm of the understanding. We do that. I mean, there is an expression. Our body goes along. Now, we realize that when a speaker is preaching, right, the speaker's hand expression, everything try to expect. Now you say, I've caught a very big fish. No, he said, I've caught a very big fish. Your hand wants to go with your words. If that is happening in the understanding realm, why do we resist it when it wants to happen in the spirit realm when we pray in tongues? See the point now? So there is a level where we pray in tongues and speak in the Spirit, where our actions are going to flow along. You reach the realm of the Spirit, your actions are going to flow along. And you, as you pray, you go, you know, you're going, over right? And you just want to let yourself go. And you sometimes feel that the power pulsating out from you. And you just let yourself go. Your hand also go along. Praise the Lord. Washing machine down. And so you go into that realm. You allow, you move so much in the Spirit that your body also begins to express the spiritual realm. That is tongue. Do you know this worship was the same way? I love you, Lord, and I lay my voice. No, your hands naturally want to go up. I love to praise you. Right, our hands want to praise the Lord. Our hands naturally want to be, our body wants to be a part of it. Or sometimes when you say, Lord, you know, I bow down to you. And you just want to bow down your knees. Why? Our body wants to flow along with the expression of our words. When we want to move deep into the realm of the Spirit, when we move into the realm of spiritual worship, our body postures and movements become coordinated with the words. That happens in prayer, that happens in worship. And sometimes when people prophesy and move so much into the realm, their body also flow along. Agabus was one of those interesting prophets. Do you notice in Acts 11, they didn't just say he prophesied, it says signified by the Spirit. The word signify means that he prophesied the action. And that again is done in Acts 21, as said in Acts 21, he signified in the Spirit and the action is described. Whereas we don't know what action was involved in Acts 11, except the Bible says it did signify by the Spirit. There's an action involved which is not described. In Acts 21, he came without a single word. He just took Paul's belt, tied himself up, and then only he spoke the word. So there's a prophecy that took place with an action. An action is involved. He moves into the realm of figurative action. We know that some of the Old Testament prophets did that. You know, some of them cut buta, you know, half their hair throw here, half the hair burn here. Yeah. All kind of action. And Ezekiel, poor guy, you know, he was told to lie down on one side all the time. Then when he finished, he said, turn around and lie the other side now. Then he lie the other side. And you remember Ezekiel, he has to build that model of the city and to symbolize Jerusalem. And he built all those rams and all this coming against the city. Right? He looks like a little child playing outside in the street with sand and mud. What was he doing? Signifying, prophesying by signifying the Spirit through a sign, a movement. See, the bodily realm was involved, yielding to the Spirit realm. And so there's a whole lot inside, but if we really want to move deep into the realm of the Spirit, we have to break that barrier and move into that. Especially in a prayer realm. When you pray, learn to let go. I've learned to let go long ago. When I pray long in the Spirit, sometimes I felt like coming. And I say, never mind, Lord, just let go. And then you let go. And then you experience what Noah said when he was shaking in the Spirit. And the power of God going through him. And you go, you really feel that letting go. And if you let that happen hour after hour after hour after hour, you get into the realm of the Spirit like people have never gotten in before. Now that is what some of these Indian evangelists experience but have not been able to put into rationalistic analysis. See, they are moving into that, but that is where we have given some understanding. That is why now you understand why some of them go, you know, You know why? It's part of their way of getting into the spirit. Where all the revelations are there involved. Once you understand the principle behind it, you could modify the method. If you don't understand the principle, you only copy wholesale without understanding. You could modify and flow along. Now, everything in the spirit is within control. There's no such thing as you cannot control the realm of the spirit. And you notice when I minister, I don't shake at all. Right? To me, it looks awful. Can you imagine? Praise your brother. Jesus is going to heal you now. Right. Now, I move very calmly. But, in my private life, I learned to let go. Let me tell you, there has to be a letting go somewhere in your life. Where the mind releases its hold of the body and let the spirit take over the body voluntarily with your volition involved, with your consciousness involved. And the Holy Spirit will not do something against our control. Just like praying in tongues, I will. So letting Him have your body, you also have an I will involved. I will let go, I will not let go. We are still perfectly in control. You could stop it if you want. Just like when we pray in tongues, we could stop it if we want. The same way the letting go. So tonight, get into the realm of the spirit. And you pray, right? If you're the very boisterous sect, please go to the corner. Go somewhere near there where you say bahaya. Ninja. Or go somewhere where you don't disturb anybody. If you're the boisterous type and your intellectual mind is such a lock on your body that you find it hard to let go, go somewhere very dark where nobody sees you. Then you go, now remember, overnight prayer is where we give you the freedom. Right? You're free to be wild. Get wild, right? Within certain limitations. And get wild in the spirit. And see, the most important thing is we want people to learn how to get into the spirit realm. Many times people think that spirit realm is just coming to God. Oh, Father God, you're so great. Spirit realm, really. No, they don't realize what is the background behind, the homework behind. It's easy once you know what spirit realm is, you could move into that way. But it takes what I call a breaking of our will, a breaking of our lock hold over our own body, and the spirit letting taking control. And you get into what I call the law of rhythm, flowing along. Right? You let yourself go. You let yourself go. And just let the power of God flow through you. Oh, I just love that when I just let myself go privately and power of God just flow through you. You're shaking away here. Just let it flow. What are you doing? You're just enjoying the power of God flowing through your life. You do a lot of that privately. Let me tell you, when you get into the public ministry, the power is so great that it will attest to the fact that what you did was in the spirit. So remember, the enemy and the enemy's kids have theirs. We and God have ours. Our style. Our way of getting in the spirit. They may have their funny, unscriptural way of getting into a trance. Right? They have all kinds of weird stuff. But we understand the principles behind it. And get into the realm of the spirit. And remain there. So praise God tonight. Happy shaking. To the realm of the spirit. Now there's a little warning here. Before you get into all these principles and give it all you got, you must be under the blood. See, what happened is King Saul understood this to a certain extent. See, the Spirit came on him. Later on, when he get into disobedience and he wanted to get into that same realm of the Spirit, he had the manifestation and a few weird ones added to that. 1 Kings 19, please. 1 Samuel 19, I mean. 1 Samuel 19, verse 20. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as leader over them. See, that's how we know Samuel was the head of this group of prophets. There's no mention of it before Samuel's time, so it's traced to him as the starter, the founder. The Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. So strong. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. See, there was such a strong spirit present. Anybody who came near the Spirit of God got on them. Because everybody was yielding. There was prophets going away. They were just getting jazzing themselves in the Spirit. You know, Lord is good, Lord is good. Although they don't have tongues yet, only new covenant. But they knew a certain method how to get there. And verse 22. Then he also went to Ramah, came to the great well. There is a Siku. And he really behaved cuckoo. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? Someone said, indeed they are at Naioth in Ramah. So he went there to Naioth in Ramah. Then the Spirit of God, now it did not say the devil, it said the Spirit of what? God. So it was of God. Was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied, and he came to Naioth in Ramah. But verse 24 is beyond our understanding. He also, that means the flesh also came in. Now there's no way you could justify that what he did in verse 24 was in the Spirit, within the flesh. He also stripped off his clothes, prophesied before Samuel in like manner, lay down naked all that day and all that night. If that happened tonight, we have to carry you to the room. But the question is, why did it happen? See? Now what we have taught in the first part today is a principle. We realize that a principle can be applied in sin or without sin. Let me give an example. I know that we get what we say, positive confession. And you could try to apply it sometimes when you have unforgiveness in your life and you know it doesn't work. Mark 11 verse 25 must follow. Not just Mark 11, 20, 24. There's no way it's going to work. Although you confess under your blue in the face. Not going to work. Or let's say the law of tithing. Such a tremendous law. The law of tithing and offering. Supposing you're living in sin or in adultery with someone who's, you know, and you left your home, your family, you're living in adultery. There's no way you're going to prosper or the windows of heaven are going to open for you. There's no way Malachi 3:10 is going to work for you. See, that law is put on hold. The blessing of the law is put on hold until you repent from your breaking of the Ten Commandments and get back into order. So in the same way, we learn that principle of moving the realm of spirit. Once you understand it, it's very easy actually. You could get in any time. You could get into what I call, quote unquote, I remember I'm using words like this only because there's a lack of better words to give in or convey the impact of what we have discovered. To get into what I call trance-like state in the spirit. Once you understand this principle, it's very easy to get into the realm, but the Spirit of God can come on you easily. Very easy. But you understand the principle, understand the law, and you don't back it up with holy life, or you live in disobedience, willful disobedience, or there's sin in your life. And you say, no problem, I know how to tap into the Spirit now. Praise God, I know the gas of the Spirit. Hallelujah, and you go jazzing up the Spirit. And you really look weird like Paul, like Saul. Because you're not under the blood. Now, it sees the Spirit of God. They got a little bit in the flesh. Because there are areas in your life, they are not touched by the blood. Areas in your life, they are not dealt with. So it starts manifesting too. Part of it is good, part of it is bad. And that is what happens when people start moving into the Spirit. Let's say you start moving into prophesying. Even your experience in prophesying is very easy. You can tell Paul on that. You can check with Paul. It's very easy to get into prophesying over people once you know how to get it. Right? And there's an anointing for that. Very easy. It's one of the easiest things to do. It's very easy for me now to move into the world of knowledge. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world. And there's no problem about it. It could be very precise even when you move in. Because you know how to get in. But the quality of your life must be backing up all the time. See, when the quality of life is not backing up, you could move into a very weird thing. That part of it is spirit, part of it is flesh coming out. And you could be prophesying in the spirit, oh, thus says the Lord, hallelujah. The Lord is reigning over your life. When you start prophesying, you know, then there's a part when the spirit stops, but you keep going on. And so no more prophecy, but you're still going on, and you're still talking in the flesh to that guy. You ever heard those prophecies before? I heard many before. Before we started this church, about a few months before I left the other previous church, there's someone who I know, he already disagreed with me in the heart over certain things. So he had a prophecy for me. The first part of the prophecy, very nice. That says the Lord, you love the Lord. The Lord is with you. The Lord is going to use you. Hallelujah. And everything. Then the second part of all those other things come. It's everything he wanted to say to me in the natural. He said in prophecy. And the strange thing, the person thinks that it's of God. But I hear it doesn't edify me. Right? I would prefer, you know, he don't use prophecy. He sit down with me and say, hey, I think these are all the things that you should do. You know, he's very plain. If you disagree, you go ahead. But don't disagree in the prophecy. Wait. Say, you know, humble yourself. Because he thinks I was proud. Because I stood on the things of God. Say, humble. Lord, say, humble. You know, sometimes people don't agree with you. You call them proud. Anybody who don't disagree with you is proud. And then you go on and he says, you know, oh no, you should submit, because you want me to submit to the eldership kind of system. So no way. And so the rest of it was not the word of the Lord, it was the word of man. But since you had stopped, but you did not learn how to stop, he did not edify my spirit at all. I pick it up straight away. And the strange thing is everybody around is in awe struck by the prophecy. And there were even a lot of amens. Amen. Amen. You know the holy one that make it sound more holy? add the holiness to the whole atmosphere. You know, there's the word prophecy and then they give a holy amen. You know? Amen. You know, maybe it sounds so effective. It's not of God. So that is exactly what we will have. If you notice that sometimes in prophesying, a little bit of the person's character come out. Let's say a person has a character that is very hard on people. Then a person could prophesy. And so you have a word for someone. He will say, you know, normally we will have given it, thus says the Lord, He is your God. He wants you to pursue and get on with the job that He has for you. Right? We could give it in a nice, normal way. A person has a certain hardness of character and thoughts everybody is tough like them. And if you have not found out that everybody else doesn't think the same way like you, it's about time to find out. And so we go, So it is so tough, in the prophecy is so tough. You know, it sounds like those, you know, those Chinese dried meat that is kept for a long time until it tastes a bit like the keropok not cooked yet. And tough. And so we go, the prophecy sounds like scolding that guy. That's the way the person talks all the time. Now, that may not always be the case, but that it will be the case if the person does not yield their personality to the Spirit of God. Then their personality will stick out like four times even though God is using them. So it does not mean, Jeremiah Abel, long ago my friend was telling me many years ago when he was in Telok Intan and there was a prophecy in one of his meetings that came from the main policeman in the town. Attend the place, a wonderful Christian. So when the Lord's Spirit get on him, this policeman, you know, give a prophecy like he would have given a command to his troops. Yeah, he said, you know. So when he gave a prophecy, the whole house shook. So, and his booming voice was still there. And so time got touched him and he was very soft. But when he started, his personality spoke to her like four times. He's so used to commanding people, and so used to getting people to attention. Thank you, the Lord! And everybody thought there was an earthquake or something. And he doesn't need a mic. And so the personality still comes forth. The opposite is sometimes true. Someone is very shy, you know, everything, and then they become a prophecy, you know, and they don't know how to give it with confidence the way God speaks. Although they say, that says the Lord, it doesn't sound like the Lord. That says the Lord. No, maybe, no, if it's the Lord saying that, why must the Lord speak like that? Because the person's personality is still showing. And we could yield ourselves to God in such a way that the personality is covered by the Spirit and not seen. But it's really the Spirit of God. And I'm learning, and I'm still learning to yield myself to the Spirit. That whenever the Spirit comes forth in a strong, authoritative tone, I will give it along. Whenever the Spirit comes in a soft tone, I will give it in softness. So it'll just flow with whatever the Spirit of God is flowing in. That's a where we got to watch as we move into the realm of the Spirit. And remember, it's always, you can stop it whenever you want. No matter how you say you cannot stop, if you say you can, then you can. And you always can if it's of God. For the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14. Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So you can. And there is a difference between maturity and immaturity. Maturity is when you have a word from the Lord and you can wait even for 3 hours and then give it out later. Immaturity is when you have a word from the Lord. I'm going to give it. You just can't wait. And so sometimes people are too fast, sometimes people are too slow. Be not like the horse or the mule. Just be like the sheep. And that's what God wants us to be. Not too fast, not too slow. Just flow along with God, like sheep. And be just nice. And as we realize that sometimes a prophecy can come in the beginning of the worship, and we worship 2 hours, then you may have to keep it for 2 hours before you have a chance to give it. And you say you cannot hold it, that shows that you're young in the things of the Spirit. Or when you're mature in the things of the Spirit, you learn to control. You remember long ago some of you move into tongues that you don't feel you can control? And go, you say when you move into the Spirit, you know, you not only pray in tongues and like praying out whirlwind, you know, you even dance about like 30. And then, you know, that is called turkey sacrifice, Thanksgiving. And so, and after some time, you mature in the Lord, you no more, you realize that you could control and let it flow accordingly. We can. So we can mature in the Lord to that extent and learn to flow along with that. So tonight what we want to do is learn to move into the realm of the Spirit and move in, give ourselves to that. Just give ourselves to that. And learning to let it go and into that realm and just remain in that realm. I can assure you, if you could remain for some time in that realm of yieldedness and just giving yourself to the Spirit, you receive revelations like you never had before. You receive directions and prophecies and word of wisdom and word of knowledge like you never had before. Because one of the things that God has beheld revelation is, because revelation cannot be given to the flesh or the mind. It can only be given to the Spirit. So our spirit must be liberated away from the fleshly grips of our body, from the carnal grip of our carnal mind, and be released to just ascend to God in heaven. Our spirits must be there. There's a realm where we receive revelation. If we could keep ourselves there long enough, and just keep yielding to the things of the Spirit. And tonight is a time of receiving. Receiving from God revelation. Receiving from God direction. Whatever in the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask that you continue to quicken your word to our lives. We ask, O God, that you continue to teach us the realm of the Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for what your Spirit is saying to us. We thank you, Father, for your word and your establishing us in your word. We know, Father God, that you have said, be filled with the Spirit and not be drunk with carnal wine. So we know, God, there's an element of that as we give ourselves in the Spirit. It looks, Father God, like the book of Acts 2, where people would think that we are drunk with wine, but we have the wine of your Spirit. And we have given ourselves fully to that, Lord. And it intoxicates us into the Spirit realm. And we want to just remain in the Spirit realm, Lord, and move in there, Father God, and glorify Jesus, breaking the things of the flesh and of their mind, and just ascending into the heights of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's rise together. Father,